You're listening to Her Side Hustle, the podcast whose mission is to educate and empower the females out there who are hustling to turn their dreams into a reality. I'm your host, Rachel Burke, a 20-something-year-old on a journey to start a movement. I believe females are absolutely capable of creating wildly profitable and purpose-driven businesses. Join me each Tuesday as we sit down with successful female hustlers and hear all about their journey to becoming a female founder. All you need is a little bit of hustle and a whole lot of heart. Let's hear about her side hustle. On today's show, we are chatting with Holly Marie Haynes, and I wanted to chat with Holly today because I think she truly embodies what it means to be a side hustler. Holly is a side hustle strategist and wears many different hats in this role. And to name a few, you know, she offers one-on-one coaching. She's developed online courses. She has her own podcast even. She runs a community for women looking into enter into the side hustle world. And honestly, I'm sure the list could go on and on. But if that isn't enough, she also has a full-time job and she also she has twins. So as one can imagine, you know, I'm sure balancing all of that is a lot to handle. But Holly actually created a method for scaling her side hustle business without sacrificing her time and sanity. And now she offers it to other women who also, you know, are looking to start a side hustle, but they don't have all the time in the world to dedicate to that hustle. So with that being said, let's go ahead and dive on in. Welcome, Holly.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining today. And I know I just gave a very quick intro on yourself, but I do think it's important for listeners to just hear more about, you know, yourself, your story, the events that led to where you are today. So do you mind sharing just more about yourself and your background?
Yeah. So my name's Holly Haynes. I have twins who are 7 right now. I'm in Columbus, Ohio. And I started my first business in network marketing when my girls were about 18 months old. And it was by accident, as like I think most businesses maybe are. And I really was just trying to get healthier after having twins and sort of fell into just really loving the routine and the benefits of being able to have a side hustle. So I was able to grow that pretty successfully over the last couple years. And organically, everyone kept asking me, like, how are you doing this? Like, how are you managing a team and a business and twins and a family? And so I just very organically kept answering the questions. And then about a year and a half ago, I sort of was burnt out, like exactly what I explained, and knew, like, you always ask that question, like, well, I ask my clients this question, like, 3 years from now, could you be doing exactly what you're doing now? And I knew the answer was no, because I could not keep up with what I was doing and how I was doing it. And I just felt like my passion was more aligned with what I do full time, which is strategic consulting. And so I have a 20-year background in the corporate world, and I sort of really like to like merge those two things together. And so I hit pause and I was like, okay, how do I do this together? And so if you follow me on Instagram, you can literally go back and see like the transformation flip, because I changed my content, I changed my focus. And then I launched the podcast, Crush the Rush, which at the time I didn't have a methodology or anything. It's just, I wanted to get out of being busy all the time and actually enjoy having side hustle. Because I think so often women start a business because they want more time and more freedom, and then they end up working so much more, and then they get burnt out and their families get frustrated, and then it becomes this like very negative experience. And I wanted it to be positive both for myself and others. So I launched the podcast as a way to sort of, you know, just get the message out there and start learning more about what people wanted to hear. And then COVID hit, like literally the day that the podcast launched. And I was like, oh, well, this is interesting. And so over the last year, I've really just, it's been very organic, you know, listened and kept providing content and started with one-on-one coaching, which then led to a course, which now has led to a mastermind. And that's sort of where we are now. So it has scaled very quickly, but I think it's like that iceberg thing, like picture that you see where people see it like really high, but there was like 5 years of like learning and frustration and building sort of behind that. So that's the quick version, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. I do kind of feel like it's so easy to look at somebody else who's successful and say, you know, wow, they have it all. Like, it's so cool that they are able to start this business. But you don't see the 5 years that went into that, you know, they were grinding and it was a lot of hard work and dedication that you don't typically see. So it's good that you pointed that out. So really quickly though, so you were working in consulting for, you know, 20 years. At what point did you realize that you even wanted to start your, you know, your side business? Like, did you always have
Yeah.
that in you?
It's an interesting question. So, I always knew that I wanted to be in some sort of like leadership role. And if I'm being honest, I worked my way up to a certain level in consulting and just in the industry. And when I got there, I was like, yeah, this isn't what I pictured. This is not what I want to do. And I really don't want to trade every second of my free time to working. And so, I had to really think about like what that looked like. So I was actually able to get my master's degree through the company that I worked for, which I think sort of put that little bug in my head of like, wow, there's really a lot of amazing things that you can do. Like maybe you could do it just a little bit differently. And I didn't really know at the time what that looked like. And then, you know, enter twins and then you're like, well, I have zero time to do anything. And so, you know, I sort of latched on to the network marketing at first because I don't want to say it was easy because it wasn't easy, but it was kind of laid out for me and it felt like a way for me to get started that wasn't as scary. Which sounds crazy as I say it because I have the business background, but it was just like a nice sort of like stepping stone. And then as I started to see my clients transform and see them, you know, like growing a business and see them like impacting their families and getting to do these really amazing things because they did have a, you know, a second income. I was like, oh, this is really cool. Like, I want to teach this more. And so I don't think it was like one thing over, you know, it wasn't like this like big moment where I was like, oh, this is it. It was kind of a lot of little things that led up to it. But then kind of going back to my story, like I knew after, you know, quite a bit of time in network marketing that I had to change what I was doing because I was spending a lot of time on social media and I was literally trading time for dollars. And at some point you reach the capacity where you can't trade, like you don't have any more time. And so I had to figure out like what that looked like. So I think
Got
that
it.
answers your question, maybe.
Yeah, that does. So really quickly, for anybody that doesn't even know, what is network marketing? Like, what exactly were you doing when that was kind of your side hustle?
Yeah, so I started with Beachbody, which was is a company that does like at-home workouts and like, you know, health and wellness type supplements. And honestly, for me, like I didn't even know what network marketing was. I had no idea that you could like make money off of it. And I started it because I wanted workouts that I could do at home because I didn't have time to go to the gym. And what ended up happening is I just sort of organically shared it consistently over time. And it kept growing. And then people kept asking, like, what are you doing? How are you doing it? And so my whole growth plan has been very organic. But that's, yeah, that's how I got started. And that's really where I got introduced to like this whole world of running an online business, which I think has evolved over time. But I started on Facebook like before Instagram was a thing. And then for a while, like it was Snapchat. And obviously now it's Instagram and Clubhouse. I mean, it changes all the time. But yeah, that's where I got my start.
Yeah, so that kind of opened your eyes to all of the opportunities to make extra income that's not the typical
Yeah.
9 to 5. Yeah, I used to do the Beachbody workouts as well. I know a
Yeah,
lot of
I
girls
still do
do.
them. I love
Yeah.
them because I mean, my morning routine is like the crux of my business plan. Like it's when I get my work done and like having that 30-minute workout saves me. I don't have time to drive to the gym, and especially now, like I think most gyms are closed. My girls do them with me. Like it's a part of my lifestyle and it introduced me to personal development and taking care of yourself and all of the things. And so yeah, it's kind of interesting how it all comes together, but I'm very grateful for that experience. And I still have a team in the background, although it's not currently growing at this point, but yeah, we're still all very connected.
Awesome. And so once you, after you were doing the network marketing, you then decided, was the next step? So everybody was asking you, how do you do it? How do you do it? How do you make money? I want to do the same thing. And then that's when you kind of got the idea to start kind of coaching others. Did you then start the podcast, or were there some events like you started coaching before that, and then eventually after a year or so started the podcast, and then now you have the community and courses and all of that? Is that kind of the evolution?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it all happened in about 9 months, which is crazy. So in January of 2020, I joined a mastermind and hired a coach because I didn't know what my next step looked like. And I was like, I'm gonna figure it out. Like, this is a year, I'm gonna figure it out. And then COVID hit, and you're like, oh, well, we really are gonna figure it out this year. But one of the things that she had recommended and that I had seen a lot of people do is launch a podcast. So that was sort of my platform to test ideas out, to grow a community sort of in this like new space. And so that was my first step. And then after that, I got, a decent amount of feedback from the podcast, and I could sort of see like what people were interested in and like what episodes were doing better. And so I launched a group coaching program. I had four people in it and I taught it live. So I had my like structure in place, but I taught it live. I didn't have a website, I had like nothing fancy. And I will say the people that were in that program have probably gotten like thousands of dollars of content now because it's grown so much in the last year. But I gave it 110%. Like I showed up and basically gave everything that I had in my head with my methodology and taught, my system. And so then I took the feedback from that course and sort of like then built the actual course. I ended up launching that in October and sort of like pieced it out into like I have one sort of overarching like strategy course. That's my signature course. And then I broke it out into like bits and pieces based on what people were asking. And then after I launched the course, people kept asking, like, oh, you have so much great content. Like, is there a way that we can connect? And so I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll do a Facebook group. Like, I literally just kept building off of what people were asking for. So then I started the Facebook group, and at the same time, the podcast really started to take off. And so people from the podcast were then coming into the Facebook group. So the Facebook group has been growing, and then I just recently launched a mastermind, which is kind of a combination of all the things, which is like the accountability, productivity, the courses, and the community. But it's all based on what people asked for. I just sort of applied that strategy that I have from my background, along with some support from a community, and it's been a crazy ride, but it's been really fun.
Yeah, that sounds, it's cool. And I think it's also easy. Like you took it one step at a time, whereas I feel like somebody coming in, like especially with me, starting this podcast, I'm seeing all these other people. Like they've got Facebook groups, they've got Instagram, they have all these different like avenues or marketing, I don't know the right word, but it's hard for me sometimes. I'm like, do I have to do it all at once? But I think it's important. Like, no, take it one step at a time, master what it is, and then, then it'll open up other doors.
Yeah, and I'll say that's a great example because I'll say like even with the when the podcast first launched, like that was the one thing that I was focused on, and I was doing it through Instagram. So I literally would show up on Instagram, and I still do. If you watch my stories, like I have an agenda every week, or share a video, or I do some sort of tip, and I share very consistently over time, the content that I want to share. And so I did that very organically. Then it sort of led to that next step.
You mentioned that when you were starting out, I think you said you hired a mentor and like you took a mastermind course. When it comes to, women starting a side hustle, do you have like a rule of thumb for how much money to invest or like when to invest in your side hustle? Because I know personally, like it's easy. There's so many online courses now. There's so much. Like I could hire an editor for this podcast. I could, hire somebody to make my cover art. Like when do you decide when to financially invest and when not to? Because it's scary to invest money when you aren't, making money in return.
It is. So I will say personally, that's where my network marketing business helped, because I basically used that income to build this business. So I had that income coming in to invest in. But I would say my general rule of thumb, and this goes back to like MBA, you know, 101, is, you know, they say you should invest about 20% of what you make back into your business. So whether that be marketing or outsourcing or whatever that is. Now, I will say, if you're not making any money, it becomes sort of a different topic. And I think it really comes back to your goals and like your strategy. Like, what are you working towards? And so for me, like, I knew that I could not do what I was doing for the next 3 years, but I also knew that I wanted to scale like pretty quickly, because I had been in this for a while, and I knew like it was sort of now or never. Like, I was going to pivot and make this work, or we needed to find like a new hobby. So that was sort of the breaking point for me. And so I think you have to think about like, can you keep doing what you're doing at the pace that you're doing it at? Or is it worth adding in, you know, some sort of investment to help you get to that next level? I will say, like, over the last 5 or 6 years, like, I joke that I was like a course collector. So for me personally, I knew like it wasn't going to be a course that got me to the next level. Like, I needed somebody to talk to look at like what I had built and to look at sort of what I had envisioned to get to that next level. But there are some amazing courses that can like get you started. I think, again, it comes back to like, what are your goals? What kind of time do you have? Like, are you willing, like, if you invest in a group community and like it's a higher price tag, like, you better make sure that you have time to commit to it. So that's sort of what I did. I knew like it was a big investment, but I set aside the time, and I like worked my butt off the last year to build that foundation.
Got it. And do you have plans with this, like your side business? What is your ultimate goal? Do you hope one day to quit your nonprofit job, or do you love it and you're passionate about it and you want to keep it, but you just like doing this on the side? Like, do you have a dream for this, or?
Yeah. You know, that's interesting. I actually really enjoy my job. And I do enjoy that it's a nonprofit, and I'm so thankful that it's, you know, flexible and I'm able to do what I can do. I think I would be lying if I said that I wouldn't like more control of my schedule, which I think everyone would. So for me, that's the ultimate goal. I'm not exactly sure what that looks like. We did retire my husband. So he stays home full time with my girls. He actually just started doing a little bit of real estate, but so we do have that flexibility. That's probably like a whole nother podcast of how to do that. But, you know, I'm not sure. I think it kind of, this pivot has grown faster than I ever imagined. So I think I'm like still trying to figure it out. But for me, like, when people are like, what's your 3 to 5 year strategy? Like, it's the time freedom. Like, I want to be able to like go volunteer at their classroom, or like do a podcast episode at, you know, 3 o'clock on a Thursday, or whatever that looks like. That time freedom is what I'm working towards.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. I feel like that's kind of similar to what I'm looking for. Like, I just want to be able to set my schedule, and I don't have kids right now, but when I have kids one day, like, I don't want to waste all of my time, you know, dedicated to my full-time job. I want to be able to go volunteer at their school, or take them to, you know, the, I don't know, beach for the day if I want to. So yeah, I totally get that.
I think a lot of times too, like, you'll hear like, oh, you know, quit your job and just go for it. And for me, like, my mindset has been, well, there's a lot of benefits of working full-time and building a side hustle. Like, I have a steady income that I can count on. And so I think it's like flipping that mindset to say, like, you can do both. Whether or not you want to do both long-term, you know, obviously it's up to you, but thinking about it as like a platform or a building block to get to that next level.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely do not advise people to quit their job and just full, you know, throw themselves into a side hustle. It's great to have the income. But one of the things that I struggle with, and I'm curious to see your thoughts on, is I got super like excited about the podcast, and I was like really spending all my time, you know, focusing on just coming up with cover art and like coming up with the intro music and all that stuff because I was excited about it, that I was starting to neglect my full-time job, which is obviously what Dave tells, and I can't do that. So how do you balance, you know, your full-time job that you have an obligation with also your side hustle, and then also you have children? Like, how do you balance it all?
I don't use the word balance because I mean, obviously if you're working two jobs and don't think it's balanced, but it comes down to prioritizing and time blocking, honestly. So I know, like, I have very specific business hours in the morning. Like, if you email me, the chances of me emailing you back from 6 to 7:30 in the morning are pretty high because that's when I check my email. And then I'll time block other things throughout the day. But when I sit down to time block, I will time block everything. So it's everything from like my kids' activities to meal prepping dinner to work meetings to podcast interviews, because you don't get an extra 24 hours to like work on cover art, which I love doing, by the way. Like, I could play in Canva for hours.
I know, me too.
But I like, I'll set a timer. Like the other day I was working on like some updated things for my course and I love doing it. I was like, okay, Holly, you have 20 minutes, like do what you can and then come back to it. And it's hard because you do want to work on it. And I will say sometimes like there's Saturday mornings, well, I'll just like sneak away and work on the things that I like to work on. But I do that pretty consistently. And yeah, that's how I try to stay on track. It's hard. The other thing that I talk about quite a bit in my stories is I use this method called the cake method. I did not come up with it, but it's really fun for my clients and even me when you're starting to feel overwhelmed and you're like, okay, think of like a 3-layer cake and there's 3 things that you're going to focus on every day. Most of the time, one of them is my 9-to-5 job. The second one is usually like a podcast interview as an example. And the third one might be personal. Like on the weekends, they might be all personal. You can kind of mix it up depending on what your focus is. But then the theory or the concept is that everything else is sprinkles. So you leave, you know, your to-do list is still out there. And if you get those 3 things done, it's kind of like you can take a breath and say, I was focused today. I got it done. Or you can add in the sprinkles. So like the other day I had a meeting canceled and I had a project I was working on for my business. And so I was like, well, I'm going to work on that for a half hour because it's my sprinkles for the day. And it's fun to talk about cake like every day. So,
right. I know I love cake.
Yeah.
So time blocking, this is a newer concept to me. You set this, so pretty much every single day you schedule, like you pretty much schedule your entire day. So for an hour, 7 to 9, you're doing, or 7 to 8, you're doing this, 8 to 10:30, you're doing this, and you are strictly doing that and nothing else in that time. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's, people like give me this look, like, is your entire life just planned out, Holly? Like, how do you do this? So during the week, like Monday through Friday, like at the end of the day, so today's Wednesday, at the end of the day, I'll sit down and say like, and I'll time block tomorrow. Like, so I'll have my day all planned out. I time block breaks though, or like just if I have a break or I have like something fun I want to do, I'll put that in there. So it's not like your whole life is planned, but you know, like, okay, after 7 p.m. as an example, like my goal is to put my phone away. Like, I don't plan that out. I just know like my schedule stops at 7 o'clock. So you can do like whatever you want to do. Or like on the weekend, I'll, you know, use the cake method and say like, these are the 3 things I want to get done on Saturday. And they're probably not business related, but I may have like a 2-hour block of time, which typically for me is like 6 to 8 in the morning while my kids are sleeping, where I'll work on my business. But then the rest of the day won't be planned. It'll be like one big time block. So it's not as strict as everyone thinks, but it is magic. Like I encourage everyone to try it one day. And like the anxiety and the overwhelm like disappears. It's magical.
Yeah, I definitely want to try that because I'm the type of person that I will have like 7,000 things on my plate. And then so I start doing one. I'll be doing it for a half hour and then I shift and start doing something else and then I come back to it and then I'm just kind of like all over the place. Whereas if you just kind of like dedicate your time and focus and then move on once it's complete or once that time's up, I could imagine that it would be, you just are more productive and you get, you know, get things done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even with podcasting, like I do some solo episodes, like every other episode, and I will sit down and write them. Like I'll write like 3 episodes in a row and then I'll record 3 episodes in a row, which basically is like an entire month's worth of content, which takes me like probably half the time. Even though it's the same amount of work, it's like, well, you don't have to plug in the microphone or test your system, or like you just get in the flow. So it's really helpful.
Yeah. And when you're in the zone, you know, like when you're really in the zone and focused, you can crank stuff out. Whereas sometimes if you're not feeling like it, but you know, you have to record the episode, you have to do it because you have to, you know, so it's, that's a good way to manage your time and your tasks. So I saw that you almost have 12,000 followers on Instagram. Has that been your main way of attracting new clients? Was it Facebook? I know you said you originally started out on Facebook. Like what has been your go-to marketing? And because your business, it's taken off so quickly, like how did you expand and how do you keep creating new content and finding, you know, new customers? I know that that's a loaded question.
Yeah. I'll tell you, when I started like 6 years ago, Instagram didn't exist. And the thing on Facebook to do was to share like 6 times a day. So like the marketing strategy then versus now is very different. I will also tell you that like, as I grew into my business, I tried all the things and I totally grew my Instagram account the wrong way. Like I did like the follow unfollows. I did the like loop trains. I don't even know what they're called now. There was like a people mapping method that I did. I mean, but that's what everyone was doing at the time. And so like, you just try it and you learn from it. So I actually had a period of time where I had to like really clean up my account. And I would say the number of followers does not matter. Does not matter at all. Like I would focus more on engagement and how many, like, is that continuing to grow? And Instagram has this really nice feature now under insights where you can go in and just see like how many people are looking at your content and is it growing? So I totally switched my focus, and Instagram was my focus for a really long time until probably about a month ago, where I just focused on those insights and said, am I continuing to grow? It's not necessarily followers, but is my content being seen? Are people liking it? And is it growing? So I started with Instagram. That was sort of like my focus. I'm very ridiculously consistent with it. So I have a content plan that I follow. I typically will post like 2 or 3 times a week. I always do a video or a reel at least once a week or whatever like the thing is that they're promoting, so that I'm staying like on top of it. And I would say 90% of my business until recently came from Instagram, and from my content strategy. And I know people are like, well, how do you get, you know, messages in the DMs? And it comes from content. It comes from asking questions or polls. So that's how I started. And then when the podcast came along, it started to change a little bit because I was getting people listening to the podcast and I had to point them somewhere. And so that's when I started developing what is now my Side Hustle Starter Kit, which is like my freebie, which then led to developing like a funnel strategy, which then led to the Facebook community. So again, it's been this like organic growth mode of like, okay, I can only focus on Instagram right now, but then next I'm going to do a freebie. And then after the freebie, like, where can they go for more support? So I'm going to create a community. And then after the community, what can I do? I'm going to create a course. And so it's been super organic. I would say now, though, my biggest leads, lead magnets that are organic come from Pinterest and the podcast. And that comes back to what I call my omnipresent strategy, which is like a trendy new word people are using. But I take my podcast episodes, that's like the pillar of my content, and I repurpose it. So I turn it into a blog post, which then goes on Pinterest, and then I turn it into a like a teaching post on Instagram store or on Instagram where you see like the swipes or whatever that is. And so I'll put it on Instagram, and then I'll take that and I'll turn it into a story, and then I'll take that and I'll put it on my Facebook group. So it all starts from the podcast now. But it's very planned content that then goes to like a lot of different places. It took me a while to get there, though. I did not start with that. And I would encourage anyone who's starting to start with one thing and do that one thing very consistently. You can be very successful with just one platform.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's great that you're able to be visible on all of these platforms. But I also think that, yeah, for women listening that are just starting out, it could probably be very overwhelming for them to try and do all of that. Like, don't try and do all that at once.
Yeah, it's confusing. Like, dude, yeah. I would recommend against it, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So how do you, for women who are, you know, looking to start a side hustle and they just don't even know where to start, like, what advice would you have for them? Like, how do you even pick a side hustle if you just have a lot of different interests and you don't even know where to begin?
So I always say, think about what people are asking you. So, like, you know, people joke that I had twins because it was the most efficient way to have two children. Like, I'm just, that's just my personality. Like, I'm very organized and structured, and I try to, like, figure out a plan for everything. And so those were the questions that people were asking me. And if people aren't asking you questions, I would ask them. So one of the things that I teach my clients is, like, just do a little bit of market research. Like, start asking people, like, what do they think of when they think of you? What do they think that you're good at? What do they like in terms of what you're sharing? And it might be different than what you think that you might want to do. And that's okay. You can merge it or you can change it. But I really think asking for feedback is probably one of the number one tips that you can do. And then what gets you excited, right? Like, what brings you joy? Like, I was just saying, like, I love playing in Canva. Like, I could design templates in Canva for hours. Like, that should probably be like an offering that I do. Like, I love it so much. But like, getting organized and designing, like, that's what makes me excited. And so it's like taking the time to slow down, to speed up. Like, what are you good at? What are people asking you about? What do you enjoy doing? And then, like, how can you monetize that? And it comes back to, like, I used to think, like, well, I'm not going to talk about how I have a full-time job, but it ended up being part of my brand because people wanted to know, like, how you were doing the thing. And so I think it's just embracing, like, your own personal knowledge and where you're at and your experiences, and there's probably, you know, 100 people out there that would benefit from that. And you don't need a ton of people to make a big difference.
Yeah, I agree. Like you were saying, like, you have to be interested in it. Like, when you're really thinking about it, yes, it could be something that a lot of people are doing right now that they're making a ton of money doing. But if you're not super, if that's not where your passion lies, you're going to get burnt out and you're going to, you know, eventually quit because it's not what you're super interested in. So I think that it's important to, you know, to really think about yourself and could you do this side hustle for, you know, a year, 5 years? And could you, you know, in 5 years from now, are you still going to like doing it? So it's, I think that's important to think about. Now, another question I have for you, you know, side hustling is so popular these days. There's so many competitors out there in pretty much every space. Like, how can somebody kind of set themselves apart from competitors? You know, like, I'm sure there's other side hustle strategists out there. There's tons of podcasters. Like, how can somebody who is beginning their side hustle, you know, really set themselves apart?
That's a good question. And I think I struggled a really long time with, like, well, why am I different? Like, how am I different than any other person that's, like, teaching productivity and strategy? And I think when I first started, I, you know, as everyone does, like, you try to just do what you see being done because that's where you start, and that's okay. I think niching down is really, really important. And so, like, the example that I always give is, like, I could say that I'm a busy working mom. Like, that's, like, my niche. But when I say that I'm a busy working mom of twins who helps working moms build a side hustle who are working full time, like, it's very different. And so I just started speaking about, like, my journey and what I knew and, like, what made me, I'm sure there are other working moms who have twins, but, like, I try to just share, like, my experience and my journey and hope that that resonates with, you know, someone else who might be in a similar spot. So I don't know if that's a valid answer, but I think just, like, owning who you are and your experiences as a person really will make you stand out organically.
Yeah, I think that, finding like your niche and not just saying abroad. I am somebody who will help, people start a side hustle, but really digging deep and peeling back the onion. Like you'll find people that are also, working moms who have twins who want to start a side hustle, who live in Ohio. You'll find that you just have to really keep digging and keep finding, what it is exactly that you're looking for, that you're looking to do. So yeah, I agree with that. So what is one thing that you wish you knew when you started your business? Like if you could go back in time, a piece of advice or what do you wish that you knew when you started out? Or nothing. Maybe you wouldn't change
No,
anything.
I think it's I don't want to say that social media is fake because I feel like everyone's trying to be real now, which I appreciate, but like behind the scenes is way more work than what anyone I think shows. I mean, we were just talking about like podcast editing before this, and like I started a podcast before I even knew like what the heck to do from an editing perspective. And I think everything just as hard as you work and as much as you do, like it's always just more than that you think it is. But I think on the flip side, like the benefit and the joy when you find something that you really love is more than you can imagine. And so it's probably both of those things.
Yeah, I agree. I think the biggest thing is side hustles or starting a business. It's a lot of work, but eventually it'll pay off and it will be worth it if it's something that you're passionate about. If you keep the mood, keep the motivation up, just keep going, don't quit, and eventually it'll pay off. But it's definitely not easy. It's harder than it might look on Instagram or look when you look at other side hustlers doing the same thing.
And I think also like a lot of my friends and family were like, "What the heck are you doing? Like, why would you do this? Like you're on the path that you're supposed to be on. Like, why would you change it?" And so I think just like trusting your instincts and not like doubting yourself as much, which is very hard, is a good lesson learned as well.
I totally agree with you on that. One last question I have for you is just where can listeners learn more about you, learn about your services, look at your courses? Where can they find out more information?
So the best place is my website. It's hollymariehaines.com. You can download the Side Hustle Starter Kit, which has basically all the things that I teach for free. It's like a 5-course like mini course because I like to put all the templates and things in it. And then weekly, I have 2 episodes that come out on the Crush the Rush podcast. And so you can listen to all of us there.
Perfect. Awesome. And I'll leave all that information in the show notes as well so people can find you. But it was great hearing from you today. I appreciate all of your advice and it was cool to hear about your journey to launching a successful business. So definitely appreciate your time today and I really hope that our listeners take some of the advice that you mentioned and use it for their own side hustle.
Yeah, thank you so much. I love talking through all this.
Awesome. Thanks. Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining today. I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review so other lady hustlers can find the show. Until next time, keep going.